Welcome in to another edition of the Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 547. Charlie here with you. On the other side of Zoom, not Mitch Ross, but our guy Shaken, Milwaukee's favorite DJ, our favorite DJ, in here filling in for Mitch this week. What's going on, dude? How you doing?
Good, brother. I feel like I missed my drop there. I thought I should jump in and fill in for Mitch, as you know, you need to do the episode drop. But
yeah, do you want to try it now, like, or is the moment over?
We can do it again.
All right. One, two, episode. Ooh, there you go. 547. All right. Yeah, no, that's great, man. Good to hear you're doing well. Thanks for filling in. I felt bad. I should have gave Mitch last week off. Last week was actually the crazy week for him. He has all this Garden Home stuff. Check out their new album. Album release show sold out at the Cactus Club. I will be there. I got my tickets last week when they were like low ticket alert. So I didn't screw around. Hopefully the Cactus Club will be a little nicer to me than they were the last time. That's another story for another day. I'm not going to disparage fine folks at the Cactus Club before Mitch's event. So, I'm giving him a little time off before this. You heard me talk that I was going to be solo this week, and you're like, oh, I could fill in. And I was like, oh, great. I mean, that's perfect. Saved me talking to myself for 4 days. And what's up? Where are you? Are you out and about this weekend as well?
Rare Thursday at Brothers, one of my favorite spots. Nothing this weekend. And then we've got Sophie next Saturday, the 27th, actually at Trinity on the 25th. So a couple back-to-back Thursdays, which is not always the case, but, you know, makes it a lead. Fridays aren't terrible at work, so I can make it work. And Thursdays are always kind of, a little different, throw a little wrench in your schedule, but Brothers have been always pretty good. And Trinity next week, you know, with kids back in school break and stuff.
Yeah. This is the time of year too. This is the time of year where the kids are just, they don't care. I mean, they're at the end of the year. They're ready, especially the seniors, juniors, like they're just like, I'm not worried anymore. And it's just all systems go. It's too bad you couldn't get a Bucks game kind of thrown in there.
Actually they reached out with the schedule, and just with mine, didn't work out with the Sunday, because they didn't have, at the time, they didn't have the schedule out, like when the game would be. And my wife, who works third shift, she works Saturday night, so she has to sleep into Sunday.
Right.
And I didn't want to cut that short and try to rush. And so it just didn't work out, which is unfortunate, because I love being part of that, especially around the playoffs. I got a ton of stuff going on. And I think they're going to need it. They're definitely going to need the energy in the building, and it's awesome to be part of that. But, we'll certainly be cheering from the living room. So one thing I wanted to say, and before we kind of jump in, was like, two Saturdays ago, right? Yes. You and Mitch stopped in the brewery. You guys stopped in, you said hello. I don't know how long you stayed. I gotta say, man, that was like one of the most fun nights I've ever played. Like, it came out of nowhere. It was, it was on kind of the back of, some of the tournament stuff and
Final Four weekend. You had the Giannis jersey giveaway. It was kind of it was like the first like real decent day. I wouldn't even say it was warm outside. It was just decent. Like, it was good enough for government work. And yeah, you had everybody out. It was absolutely nuts.
And I started early. So they had been doing 3 to 8 with the DJ to kind of fill that daytime gap. That opera singer was there that night. So that was
Andrea Bocelli. Yeah, we saw a bunch of olds. We were at Central Waters, and we walked down, and we were like, why are all these old people here? And we were there to see Andrea Bocelli just twinkle the twines.
And I'm so glad I did not play that 3 to 8, because that's a weird, especially when you have a show like that going on.
Yeah.
It's a weird crowd, because you're playing to sometimes families or people that are coming to dinner.
Yeah.
And so it's a little awkward, but man, dude, I played from 10 to close. So you're playing like a 6 hour set. It was like, and I didn't even really drink that much, because it was just that busy. Like trying to like just grab a drink. And I had somebody, a friend of mine, buy me one. And it was just like the day went by and it really didn't die off. A lot of times, you know, with brewery, it's like kind of the pregame place, if you will, but like, man, it's not really that anymore. It's like truly a destination where people come and stay.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, I didn't even see you guys after I saw
No.
you. And
No,
it was like
we were there
you
for like
bet.
10 minutes. I will say my shout out to the brewery. My usage rate at the brewery is higher than I would have expected it to be at my, age at this point, but that's okay. We have fun there. It's a good time. I think it's there's just a lot to do. There's a lot of space. I know they do a lot of fun events. They have the Taylor Swift bingo. They're doing something with they do some stuff with Nate Marzahn. If they want to get involved in Tab and Keg business, I'm one call away. I don't even
Yeah.
need to get paid. I'll do reviews from there. That's all I do. That's free advertising for if they want it. Broadhouse, I've opened that door for Broadhouse and they've never stepped through. I'll open it to other people. But no, it's a great spot. And yeah, we were there for a little bit and then we bounced out to Elwood's, who had a pop punk DJ that night, and that was awesome. And that was a really good time. And Elwood's is Elwood, you can find your spots. Like people will be like, "Oh, I'm too old for water." It's like you're not too old for water. You just got to find the spots where you feel a little less like old. And I
Yeah.
would say the brewery, Elwood's, couple other places that are like that, and it's there. But yeah, no, it was awesome to see you have this massive crowd. Was really happy for you, and
Yeah, it was fun.
we'll
And
hopefully.
right now, like you said, it's like weather's getting nice, school's
Right.
still in, but people don't really give two shits. Bucks are
Right.
playing, playoffs,
Yeah.
brewers are going.
Oh yeah,
All the
and
summer concerts are coming, like
yeah.
Pfizer. We just had Luke Combs this past week, like
Oh yeah, and it seemed like
loud, man.
everybody and their mom was at Luke Combs. If you scrolled your Facebook,
Yeah.
I was gonna last thing I was gonna say was yeah, it's with the Bucks playing on Friday afternoon. It's 4:30. It's a 4:30 start time, which is
Yeah,
wild,
weird.
but it's like you get done and you just tie one on, or you take a half day and you get going, then you have the draft after if you wanna watch that.
Yeah.
But it kind of sets up really nicely. It's a little early. I would have like 4:30 makes it hard for me even to get down to like Milwaukee for the game. It's like
Yeah.
that's like I probably will have to stay at home or somewhere local here, then go. But yeah, we can get into topics and list. So we're gonna do a lot of Bucks Pacers preview, talk about it. Hopefully, not get too contentious. We're on maybe the other sides of the table on some things, but it'll be all right. And then we'll talk maybe a little bit about the NBA playoffs, and then get into some NFL draft stuff, and then this new WIA NIL rule that is gonna be voted on today. So that will kind of be the show. So excited to get into it. And Bucks Pacers, it's the series. We have no idea if Giannis is going to play right away. The Bucks have been coy about it. There are obviously the headlines of the Bucks struggling. There, I would say that the Bucks are the nobody believes in us team in the Eastern Conference. I'd put Oklahoma City in that category for the Western Conference. And it's a question of will the Bucks will like April just be a mirage, or is this who they are? And I think fan vibes are about as low as they've been. I don't know. I can't remember actually that a time it's been this low right away.
Yeah.
And so where's your confidence level at in terms of a deep run, in terms of if they can just win the series? Like if you it one being like you think they're gonna be done in 5 or 6. To 10, like I still believe this team can win a championship. Where would you put yourself on that spectrum before the playoffs start in a couple days?
Yeah. The crazy thing is like they have the talent to win a championship, like
Oh yeah.
without question. Like that's not a question in my mind. It's just been a lot of the things over the year. I don't know. I'm not to the point where I think they're gonna lose this first round series. I do think they'll win a 6 or 7 game series against the Pacers, regardless of if Giannis plays in half the games, if he plays in none of the games. I really still think this team can beat them, without Giannis, and it has to go with, and I think I heard you mention, you didn't think game one was a must win. I actually think game one is a must win for a number of reasons. For one, this team in Indiana, they know they can play with us. They know they can beat us. Now, granted, yes, every all those wins came before Doc Rivers came before the All-Star break. There's a ton of change. There's been a ton of turnover on both teams. So they're not the same teams. They've both played a little bit different, but at the end of the day, Indiana has confidence playing the Bucks, whether you
Sure.
like to see, whether it's true or not. And Giannis is dominated in those games. So not having him is going to be huge and probably a big thing for Indiana to be like, he was the only reason that they were in some of these games earlier, which they can think that, what they can, have however feelings. But I actually think game one is a must win for the Bucks for that reason, and for the fact that if you kind of cut that cord and cut that confidence off with Pacers in game one, like, damn, they're coming in thinking they're going to beat us without Giannis. If we come in game one, set the
Punch him in the
tone
mouth.
without Giannis, then it's like, okay, these guys, these guys are here to play. Versus if they win game one, if Indiana wins game one, the pressure is all on the Bucks from there on, right? It's the pressure to win that second game at home. You definitely don't want to go to Indiana 0-2, because I think
Right.
Indiana's going to have an incredible crowd. Like they, you
Caitlin
know,
Clark gonna be there, like the whole
yeah,
thing, and it's gonna
like they're,
be
it's a
it.
great basketball town, and
Oh
I
yeah. Oh,
they're
yeah.
clamoring for good playoff basketball, especially that they're playing the Bucks. Like Indiana's going to be incredible. It's probably going to be an incredible atmosphere. You definitely don't want to go down 0-2, but I think game one is a must win for the Bucks. Set the tone without Giannis. Don't give them any chance to think that they have confidence in this series. And that's kind of why I think game one is the biggest thing. But I do believe they've got the talent to beat Indiana in a series, as currently constructed, even if Giannis doesn't play. You and I have disagreements on anything beyond that. And now it's even in more interesting now that we know that Philly is going to match up with the Knicks. Those two teams are going to beat the shit out of each other
Oh
in that
God, it's a
series.
war. That is going to be an absolute war. And it's going to be, I think either team is going to come out of that pretty ragged. It is not going to be easy. And even if the Heat get, into the, as the, eighth team, that's going to be really hard on Boston. And the Bulls itself, I think the Bulls could give them a game. We'll see. They're up early, but Alex Caruso just got ran into by Andre Drummond and might have hurt his knee. Very Bulls that I've ever seen. But going back to the Bucks and the must win, I think you convinced me. Like this, you made a really good case on like why it is must win for the punch them in the mouth, like let them know, like, hey, shit's changed. Like, we have Pat Bev now. We have Doc Rivers as a coach. The rules are different. Like we aren't gonna fight. The rules aren't what they were, when you guys played us in January. Like this is all different. This is different basketball, and we are gonna kind of shock and awe you. The other thing to keep in mind is they have like no playoff experience. They just have Pascal Siakam. Miles Turner's played in a couple playoff games, but it's been 3 or 4 years. It's been a while. So, and I think it might have been a bubble. So it's been a long time for Miles Turner too. So it's like when you basically have no playoff experience, to your point about punching in the mouth and getting going early, you got to get the fuck on in that first half. And that first half should just be shock and awe, get up early, blitzkrieg them, and they kind of don't know what hit them. And the more you're saying this, like, I'm thinking about it and I'm like, yeah, that's the path to success. That's the path to victory. And then it also builds confidence for everybody else. There is
Yeah,
no, oh God.
I was gonna say, if you asked me who I think is the most important player in the series, my answer would probably surprise you a little bit, but I actually do think Pat Bev is the most important player for the Bucks early on. I think the obvious is there with Dame, is just with some of his struggles, and like, hey, you have to carry the load now that then Giannis isn't here. Chris, if he can stay healthy and be consistent, he was more inconsistent towards the end of kind of his return. Bobby's obviously not a big one with Giannis out. He's always kind of stepped up his game. But I think if you can cut the head off of Indiana with Tyrese Haliburton, slow him down, even though he's played very differently in the second half of the season, I think if you cut off the head and Pat Bev's leg can stay out of foul trouble and just frustrate the shit out of him, that offense is going to struggle. And I think that's where I would lean on who's really important. And it's more so Pat Bev on the defensive end, guarding Tyrese Haliburton, tiring him out, slowing down their extremely
Getting
fast offense,
under his skin too,
picking
and
them up full, picking them up full court. Like, Pat
94.
Bev is going to be that guy. Like, you didn't get Pat Bev for the regular season. You get him for these moments,
Right.
and having him frustrate the other team's point guard, frustrate them for an entire game, for an entire series. Especially if Giannis isn't going to play, they're going to need to slow down Indiana. I think it starts there.
Yeah, I think in terms of, I agree with Pat Bev, the X Factor. I think another guy that I would lob in there is Malik Beasley, just because he had such a bad finish to the year. He kind of said it wouldn't be pretty if the Pacers played them in the playoffs. He then doubled
Got to
down on it
deliver.
today, but which I love. Like, it's like, okay, stand on business, say what you feel, like, don't run away from it. You said it on a podcast, say it in front of the media. Like, I'm perfectly fine with that. I have no problem coming in there with a good attitude, but it has been a struggle for him. But my case has been, and I've laid this out on a few podcasts, so I apologize to those regular listeners, but he's played a lot of basketball this year. He's played more minutes than he did, 6 more minutes average than he did last season. He, I think, is just was a little tired at the end of the year. He gets a week off, and I think that's a guy where him and Dame, like, try to get them some open looks early and see if it can go down. And if it does, like, feed that beast. And again, kind of back to the shock and awe comment earlier.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how much you like. I don't know what Doc's gonna do. I just don't know, like, how much can you play Brook in this series?
Yeah,
With
I mean, the
how
Brook
fast paced they
question.
play, it's and he's. I mean, if you watch their matchups, he's struggled, and I've been, maybe not necessarily vocal on this one, but I just have a feeling Brook's been really, really checked out all year. I don't know why particularly. I think he shows flashes every couple games and he has kind of a Brook game, but the Doc Griffin thing that did not go well from the start, certainly
Right.
started with him and kind of the blitzing style defense. And he just hasn't felt bought in. I don't know if it's like, the
He
Dame
just seem he just
injury
seems
has
he
something to do
just
with
seems
that.
mad he just seems mad at everybody all the time. Like, I know what you're saying. His defensive mindset just hasn't been there. And I think right now, the Bucks would have to go really small if you're putting Bobby Portis at the five. So if we're, playing this out and saying we're not going to play Brook, assuming Giannis is not healthy and not going to play, you would have Bobby at the five, probably Jay Crowder at the four, and then you have Middleton three, Bev two, and Dame one. That's, I mean, that's one lineup. I mean, another lineup could be Malik Beasley, and then Middleton's at the four. It's you are asking a lot with now you having Siakam and Miles Turner instead of just Miles
Yeah,
Turner.
Miles. I mean, Miles Turner doesn't play big by any
No.
means.
Oh,
I mean, he's
no.
a
He's
perimeter center, like,
right.
loves to take his threes, and that's the
Yeah.
one thing. But like, he does run the floor really well. So you're asking a lot of Bobby in that sense. But I also wonder, like, and I fucking hate that I'm saying this, is like, do they put some Gallo minutes in there and just to like
Probably.
frustrate him? He's got some size, he's got some length, he's
You
probably a little more mobile. You're probably going to need to use him in some of these, situational moments in games, without Giannis. So I'm wondering, does he get a little more clock, because he's going to be a little bit more mobile? But I mean, he's just I mean his minutes are just going to scare you.
right. And it's, I think that's the thing. And I think one of the things I hope with Doc is that, it's not like let's just try out a bunch of things. Like, let's really focus on who our lineup. Like, I feel like with Mike Budenholzer, game ones were always this like feeling out, like, and they would lose a lot of game ones because it was basically like Bud's way of like saying, oh, this works, this doesn't work. He would just try a lot of shit and then would say, all right, game two, lock in. Here's the game plan. And then they'd usually kick the opposing team's ass that next game. Like, that was usually sort of the Bud mindset. And I don't really want that. I would rather them say, okay, we are going to go with, you know, 8 to 9 guys, and that's kind of our bench. I think it would be a complete misstep if AJ Green doesn't play anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes or more in this series. Like, I think you have to get AJ Green out there for his 3-point shooting and just have that ability. He also defends really well on the perimeter. He's a guy that can frustrate a Nebhard or a Haliburton or a TJ McConnell. Like, that's a guy that can do that. So I think you have to get him out there. But yeah, maybe Gallo is the sort of the solution for how do you make up for Brook Lopez's minutes. And maybe that's your one thing you tinker with, you know, early in the series, just to see, all right, is this going to work or is this unplayable?
Yeah, I think the AJ minutes are big. Like, there should be an AJ game in this series.
Oh yeah.
You know, we've said it, like, you know, we've seen enough games against us with guys like Matt Thomas and, you know, kind of the come all party for Duncan Robinson a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've had enough games against us where, well, granted, we had
Grayson Allen had the series of his
Grayson
life
had
against
one
the Chicago Bulls. I mean, that
against
was
the Nets.
For the Bucks?
Yeah.
Bryn Forbes for
Bryn
the, against
Forbes.
The Heat. Against the Heat, Bryn Forbes.
That
not a
PO, that PO,
not a
yeah.
not a great guy. Not a great guy, Bryn Forbes. But yes.
Like, we need one of those guys, those types of guys, to have those types of games. TJ McConnell's going to have one of those games, unfortunately, in this series, and it's just kind of how the playoffs go. Is that you got to find that one guy that
right.
You know, has kind of a standout. You find a way to use them. The Matt Thomas games, you know, those
God.
types of things.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah, no, I think I, yeah, you need those guys to step up. And Mitch and I talk about this all the time during playoffs, is like, your role players are really important at home. Like, you can't expect Pat Connaughton, you can't expect AJ Green, you can't expect Jay Crowder to have these big games on the road, because that's just usually when you need your stars, when you need your stars to step up. And so that's there. Well, let's talk about the big guy in Giannis Antetokounmpo. Do you think that Giannis will play at all this series? Do you think Giannis is going to play starting in game 3, which would be basically 2.5 weeks, you know, since his injury, give or take, or maybe even Sunday, the game 4, which would then be almost 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Where, if you had to, like, you know, you're not a doctor, we're not doctors here, but like, if you had to, like, put a date on it, make a prediction, what do you think you're going with?
Yeah. I think if they lose game 1, he's playing game 2. I think he's probably doing everything he can. My thought would be to leave him out at least the first 2 home games. If they win the first 2, I am totally fine with him sitting another one, seeing if they can get, you know, steal a game in Indiana, especially if they go 2-0 going into Indiana. But I was, you know, I kind of sent in our group chat, I'm totally fine with him sitting the first game. Certainly, you know, if they win the first, I'm okay with the second. But, you know, are they at that point where he can kind of pick and choose where he wants to come back based on how the series goes? Or could he, are they saying, hey, let's see how game 1 goes, let's see how game 2 goes? I don't know if they're at that point, but I mean,
that's a really interesting way to look at it. You know, I asked for a day, but no, I think that's kind of smart. Cause if you play it out and you look at it, the Bucks, unfortunately, do not get, you know, a ton of breathing room. They get just a day off in between everything. So except for Tuesday to Friday, the only real like long layoff is that. Other than that, they're playing every other day, Sunday, then Tuesday at home, then back in Indiana on Thursday night, and then back at home for game 7 on Saturday.
Yeah.
So it's like, they, to your point, like, it seems like Friday would be the obvious one. It's like two games, see how it goes. But yeah, you're right. If they lose, he's going to be like, I'm going to figure out a way to fucking play.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to figure out a way to do this. And a part of me wondered, it's like, could you just play Giannis, like, maybe, you know, a bud level, almost like a minutes restriction? I wouldn't want to call it a minutes restriction, but understand, like, Giannis can only play 30 minutes, and you just kind of keep him to that.
Yeah,
And,
I think
you know,
that's gonna be really hard with him and
I
just
know. It's 'cause
His style of play, like, do you know, is it, you know, are you really going to be sitting him on the bench? Him, like, there's going to be a shot of him sitting on the bench, and there's a run going with Indiana, and he should be in the game. Like, there's going to be that shot, right? And I just don't know, like, you know, can you commit to that? Can you commit to him to a certain amount of that? Because you want Giannis back for everything that he is. I realize that we might not even get that for the entirety of the playoffs. Like, he's likely going to be a shell of himself, regardless of how, you know, deep this run goes. And I think it goes into, like, kind of what a lot of the narrative has been over the last few weeks. It's just like, is this team, you know, and I think you leaned on it a little bit, you know, is this team kind of, I don't want to say entirely checked out, but, like, are they viewing it as, like, hey, this season didn't go our way, let's refocus and look at next year? Like, are they at, I don't think so. I don't think, like,
I don't
you
think
know, how
Giannis.
these guys.
I think Giannis is too good of a leader to like let it happen.
Yeah, but
I
if he's
think.
not playing, like, that's a little
Oh
bit of a
yeah.
different type of leadership too.
Well, right. Yeah, that's true.
Where it's like,
But
all
I.
right, Chris and Dame and Brooke and these guys have to, like, approach the game, you know, knowing they're down. You know what I mean? Like, a
Right.
lot of people are picking Indiana. Like, I
Well,
hope that's
right. Well,
not
okay.
the
So yeah,
confidence
let's.
going in.
But here's what I would say to that. That I would worry more about the checked out if the national media wasn't using the Bucks as their whipping boy. The Bucks have been their target. They have decided that the Bucks are the ones that are going to bring the headlines. You had Stephen A. Smith talking multiple times that Dame might be unhappy. You had Brian Windhorst, who is as much of an engagement farmer as anybody out there, saying, "Oh, Giannis might leave," even though his extension doesn't allow, but that doesn't stop Brian Windhorst.
Perkins,
And
yeah, I mean,
right,
it's
so it's like everybody. You have Kendrick Perkins, who, why the fuck does Kendrick Perkins have an All NBA vote? Is the first question, but ruins
or his
Giannis's
job.
unanimous All NBA streak of in the last 5 years. That POS is the reason why Giannis isn't unanimous. Everybody is coming at the Bucks' neck. And at some point, you say enough's enough. Even in your personal life, if some, we all have our disagreements with our significant others, and we can, you can take a couple more comments, but then when you get to like that fifth comment, you're like, all right. Like, it's like,
Check
we
this,
gotta, like, we gotta clear this. Or even with your buddies, where you're like, all right, like, you gotta shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah.
this is like, and so, yeah, shut him the fuck up. Like,
And
I,
that's what I hope. I mean, that's what I
well,
hope the approach is, right? And
so I thought this was interesting, and someone mentioned this, but do you know that in 2019, now Damian Lillard's a different guy, but I want to talk about Damian for a little bit, so this will be a good segue. Damian Lillard played, his Portland Trailblazers played the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. They were a three. The Thunder were a six. They had got beat by the Thunder four times in the regular season. They lost all four games. They then beat the Thunder in five. So it's really interesting that that happened. And it's a very similar story. It's a very similar situation where they have, the history. They beat them twice in Portland. And then they lost one in Oklahoma City, then won another one, and I think Dame hits that buzzer beater, has a 50 piece in game five. Now, the argument would be, well, Charlie, that is not the same Dame Lillard. And while I understand that, again, another guy who shut him up, figure it out, had a very bad game against Orlando, but it's, you just need him to kind of find himself, and hopefully there is a playoff game that exists out there.
Yeah, I mean, they're 4-5 without Giannis, and in some of those games, and in most of those games, you know, a lot of those wins are against big time teams, right? I mean, they're Clippers are in that, you know, and he's played some of his best ball without Giannis, and, like, you know, the meme of the walking SpongeBob, oh, the Bucks better without Giannis, like, let's not be ridiculous, but yeah, you know, does that take the pressure off of Dame, where he's like, you know, I can kind of just go with this? I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how Chris and Dame work, because they have
That's
had such little,
massive.
that they've just had such a little time together. But
Right.
I think to look at the series and pick Indiana, based on these guys not paying attention to basketball, like we have not played, they have not played since the All-Star break. Like this
Right.
is not the same team. There's no Buddy Hield on that team. There is
Yeah.
no
There's no Mathurin.
Bruce Brown on that
M
team.
M
There's
Mathurin's hurt.
and
You know,
Mathurin is
and
out. Like,
Mathurin had some big games against the Bucks, and he's a dog. Like, they have a really short bench. They don't play, and they also foul a lot. They are one of the top teams in terms of fouling. That's not good against a Bucks team that goes to the line a lot, even in the new rule NBA. And you have Chris and Dame, who both make free throws. So does
and no
Pat.
Giannis too, which
And
is
yeah, right,
interesting.
exactly. So it's I look at it and I say, yeah, it's the easy like upset pick, but it's kind of like the NCAA tournament where you're like, you have that sexy upset pick, and everyone's like, oh, you know who I like? McNeese State over Gonzaga. Not no diss. I forgot that you were a big McNeese State guy. I did that
Yeah,
was
what a
not
bur I that was a
planned.
brutal bracket for me, by the
That
way.
was
That
not
was a bad
planned.
year.
It's all right. You know, someday, some years we have it, some years we don't. But that's the thing though, is that 12-5. It's like that's what the Bucks are right now. Everybody thinks the Bucks are gonna lose. And it's like what's really interesting is I'm not hearing enough of people talking about the Suns and the Timberwolves. The Suns came out really strong. They beat the Timberwolves a bunch. They're a bad matchup for the Timberwolves, and no one's even mentioned it. No one cares, right? Because oh, we like Anthony Edwards, or they just don't drive the needle. They don't drive the needle. They don't make, you know, look good on YouTube or Twitter or anything else. So we don't talk about it. But like, it's my long way of saying I think the Bucks have a really good shot at this. And earlier today, I said the Bucks in seven in like a group chat. Now I'm kind of leaning towards Bucks in six, and it would not surprise me if they actually got it done in five. I honestly think so. The more I'm talking about it, you're right though. Game one is going to set the tone, and it's like, man, if they come out and they're just hot and they win by 15, they win by 20, it's good. If they don't, then or it's close, then yeah, maybe Indiana. We'll see, but. Yeah, sorry. That was a long Midwest ramble for me.
No, yeah, I think it's classic Bucks and six.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I feel like we get Giannis for half of those games, maybe.
Right.
Again, I think it'll come down to how kind of the first, certainly first two games go. It also is going to come down to health too. I mean,
Oh,
Haliburton's
yeah.
had a hamstring strain kind of all year. Like you already alluded to. Mathurin not being there. Dame's kind of had some interesting, abductor stuff, his groin.
Right.
So he's had some stuff too. And it's so, you worry about that with some of the age of these guys is kind of the wear and tear. And Dame's not the spring chicken anymore. So you hope he stays healthy.
Yep.
Chris stays healthy. But man, this is such a huge, huge opportunity too for Bobby to really, really cement his place in Milwaukee history, if you will.
Well, I mean,
That's funny that.
the campaigning that they've done for this, the sixth man of the year, like at this point now you got to show it. Like I realize it's a regular season award, but like you've campaigned, you've been out in the media. Thanasis has been helping. I swear to God, Thanasis has been helping out his like media thing, because he was talking about how he expected Giannis to play in game one. He's like, don't quote me on that. I'm not a doctor. And then like he had another quote that was similar, and like I don't know. I think Bobby is, yeah, you're right. It could put Bobby into another stratosphere. And yeah, I really feel good about this. Is there anything else that we missed in terms of the conversation around Bucks Pacers?
No, I know Eric Name asked Doc at the end of the game about Dame Lillard and some of his practice stuff. So again, I think if the Bucks stay healthy, they regret again, regardless of if Dame is there, like if excuse me, if Giannis is not there the entire series, I think this is a 7-game series. I think if Giannis plays, let's say he plays half, he plays 2 games, 3 games, I think it's probably a Bucks in six still. I again, as low as the vibes have been for me kind of towards the end of the year, I still believe that this team has enough talent to get them out of this first round and then Second round, we'll see. But I'm trying to be optimistic.
I like it. I like it. This is, I expected maybe a little bit more of a fisticuffs through the Zoom call, but it's not happening.
I don't love I don't love that Indiana has this like confidence in the fact that
Yeah,
they're in the playoffs. I
I
think
agree with that.
I've said it before, right? It's the Mighty Ducks three, the varsity versus the JV, and they get smoked off the ice. And the coaches, now they know they own you, right? Now, not that Indiana owns the Bucks, but it's hey, they know they can play with you. You gave them that chance. That's why I think game one is crucial in the rest of the series and how it plays out.
Yeah, and I think in general, like the last time we thought the Bucks were like really good and went on a hot streak and played great basketball was after the All-Star break when they had a week of practice and they had a lot of time to figure their shit out. And that's what they have here. I think that that gives me a lot of confidence heading into this. I think that they are, you touched on a few things where it's like, yeah, they just need to just come out, put a flush everything else, and it's the greatest sort of comeback story that you have, and that it's just this story of trials and tribulations, and you're ready. Bobby's been doing some media stuff and saying we've done with more adversity than any team in the NBA this year, which I don't think is inaccurate. And so when it comes to playoffs and chips are down and your nuts are on the table, that usually plays off. That usually helps teams, in the long run. So yeah, we'll see, man. It should be a lot of fun. And obviously we'll be riding through it all. In terms of the other parts of playoffs, we're taping as Bulls and Hawks are going on right now. We have that the Sixers will play the Knicks. We have the Lakers playing the Nuggets. Anything jump out at you right now from a play? I know I said my thing on the Suns, which I feel kind of good about. Anything else sort of jump out at you?
Well, it's just I literally was thinking about it in the shower. It was like, man, the Suns don't get nearly the amount of slack that the Bucks get. And if you look at them, a lot of people would probably argue that they have a similar, if not maybe a stronger three than the Bucks do. I wouldn't trade their fourth best player for, let's just say it's Bobby on our end, right?
Right.
But you think, KD and Giannis are always kind of those, when healthy, they're gonna always kind of be in the MVP conversation. Damian Booker are, again, kind of in that same realm of, point guard guys that can score the ball. Who would you rather have? Some people say Book, some would say Dame. And then Brad Beal and Chris Middleton are similar guys. Like there was a lot of talk of bringing Brad Beal to Milwaukee at one
Right.
point in time, but they both battle injuries, right? So it's like, all right, why aren't the Phoenix Suns getting the slack? Is it because they're in the West and the West is just so very loaded this year? I don't know, but it feels like the Bucks just get that word all the time
I
and
think Giannis has held.
so.
I think Giannis has held to a different standard. I think Giannis is just. There is a double standard for Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't really get it. I don't understand if it's because he stayed in Milwaukee, he didn't go to a big city, or if it's just he doesn't really play nice with the media, so they just don't have like the inside intel onto what Giannis is. There are LeBron guys, there are KD guys, there are people who talk to these, even Devin Booker, things like that. So it's like, maybe they're more reluctant to say things. I don't know. Embiid also has his guys. So I think it's really interesting. But yeah, I think that Suns Wolves series is really interesting. I think everybody expects the Mavericks to beat the Clippers. I probably do too, but if Kawhi, that's the whole thing. It's like, well, what about Kawhi? Right. And I look at it and my thing with the Mavericks though is this Jason Kidd's the coach. Like that's still there.
Yeah,
Like
I mean, it's but they've I mean they're not a I mean you could call them a sneaky pick. They're actually I think they'll be in the finals against Denver.
Oh, in the Western final.
Excuse
Oh,
me,
Western
Western
finals, Western
Conference.
finals, Western finals. Okay.
I just think they've found something that has worked so well with Luka and Kyrie, and then these ancillary pieces like getting PJ Washington, which the Bucks like God, if they could have found a way to make that work, like
Oh yeah,
think of some of
I've been
Daniel
on the PG,
Gafford and some of these other pieces.
I've been on the PG Washington corner for a little bit here, but I think that yeah, that's a bigger discussion about the Bucks need to look for those like younger pieces that are like they're maybe on a bad team and they just are like they're kind of toiling away and it's like okay, like Gafford and Washington are both like in their late 20s and or maybe even not even that,
Yeah, I don't
like
even think PJ's.
right. And so it's like you got to look at those kind of guys and try to take advantage of that versus, you know, I think Pat Bev's been a great addition, but it's like we're an old fucking team. Like we gotta, and that's definitely a focus I think for next year. But yeah, I agree. They've done really well, and I think with the Clippers, it's just hard to know what you're getting night in, night out. And they really tailed off at the end of the year. There's rumors that Paul George might go to the Sixers. And yeah, we'll see. And then for Oklahoma City, like they could get a huge break. No Zion on Friday night. So you're probably
Heartbreaker.
looking at Sacramento, who's already banged up. Like all of a sudden, like you could be in a decent position. Their size worries me, but Dallas doesn't really have much size. I think the Dallas Oklahoma City series would be incredible. I think that'd be a great series.
Talk about a team that has no playoff experience. It's
Oh
OKC.
no. Oh, absolutely not. Like they're It couldn't have broke better for him though. I mean, if you get Sacramento, like, or New Orleans, like you're in a much better position than if you got the Lakers. Because you got the Lakers, you're fucked. And there was a lot of arguments like, oh, the Lakers should rest their guys and
And
they
Duck
and Duck.
Denver,
But I don't think the Lakers want to. And I don't think the Lakers have a chance. Like I know some people will talk themselves into it. I actually wouldn't be surprised if they win game one and then everybody really goes crazy. Because I think there's sometimes that rest versus rust thing. We see that in baseball, right? Where like the teams who are in the divisional round or in the wild card round beat the division. Yeah. So it's like
They're hot,
they're
they're playing,
right. Yeah. But any other thoughts on the West before we go to the East? We should have started with the East, but we were talking about the Sun, so I was just like, oh, it's whatever.
No. Fun series. Like I said, I think Denver and the Mavs are kind of my pick, but injuries and kind of the way some of these coaches will kind of scheme will certainly depend on what falls. It'll be interesting to happen with that Lakers series. If they fall, what do the Lakers look like, right? If AD can stay healthy, is LeBron gonna stay there? Like, what did Lakers look like if they fall in that first round again? I mean, again, they're not getting any younger.
Do you want another tap in the keg theory? I have a tap in the keg theory for you that I'll throw. I haven't put it out here.
I feel like I might know where you're going, but go ahead.
Where do you think I'm going?
No, I want to hear. I'll let you know if I'm not there.
That Bronny's gonna go to SMU and then LeBron's gonna end up in Dallas.
Interesting. Okay. I was thinking Bronny, like if somebody's gonna draft him, which like he's like late to end a first second, excuse me, second round if he even gets drafted. I'm like, how are they not gonna like petition and get him there? But yeah, I could see that. That would be interesting.
If he
I
liked, I don't know
don't
if he
know.
liked Enfield though. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if he liked Andy Enfield, but that I may or may not in maybe height of degenerate see have a open bet with Murph on blue blood. He took all the blue bloods for Bronny, and I think my guys are SMU, Duquesne, where Drew Carter, LeBron's guy, is now the coach, and I think I did UNLV for my three picks, and
Oh
so.
man.
We have bet $10 on Bronny locations. That's pretty bad. But that just shows you guys will bet on anything. But
Yeah,
it grows money.
I mean he makes so much like NIL money that I have a hard time believing he'll go to like a smaller of the a smaller
Yeah,
school.
but like Pittsburgh, Duquesne's in a big city. UNLV's in a bigger city. So is SMU.
Duquesne,
SMU, no,
I don't know about that.
I'm just saying. SMU, but.
Also, yeah, I was gonna
So
say,
what do you?
does LeBron want like? Wouldn't you think LeBron would want to like retire a Laker just after everything? I have a hard time
Yeah,
thinking he
I mean,
would leave.
yes, and the Lakers take care of their guys. Like that's been a whole thing. Like they gave Kobe a huge deal right at the end. Like forever and ever, they have said to Stars, like, we will let you retire on your own volition. But how long can you not look at this and say, we need to, we need to try to add a star? Donovan Mitchell could be available next year. And if you let LeBron walk and then you go try to trade for Donovan Mitchell, and it's Donovan Mitchell and AD, I mean, it's not uninteresting. I don't know if that wins you a championship. Probably need a few more pieces, but like, yeah, it's certainly an interesting crossroads if they do lose again. And then in the East, we have Philly and the Knicks, as you said. It's going to be a war. It's going to be an absolute battle. I think if I could tell you could tell me Embiid's going to stay healthy, I'd take the Sixers, but I don't know. I can't. And
And I wonder if it's like the ramp up, right? It's like he's still kind of getting back to that. But are these a ramp up to what, we thought the Sixers might be in the rest of the year, where series two, they're at, as much of full strength as they can be? Because I actually do think I do think the Sixers beat the Knicks, and the national media can shut the fuck up about the Knicks.
Well, I was just gonna mention that. Like, I love those Villanova teams. I love Josh Hart in college. I like Jalen Brunson in college. I like
They're
Dante in
a
college.
likable team now. They really
Right.
are.
But the media makes me fucking hate him, because Jalen Brunson would not be getting this credit if he didn't have New York across his chest. He just wouldn't. It's simple as that. And I just can't stand it. And it's like, I also think they're kind of a sloppy team. Like, they make a lot of mistakes late game. And Brunson does a lot of great things too, but he's not that great with the ball sometimes down the stretch. And so, yeah, I think if the other parts of Philly can keep Embiid, and they can kind of keep Embiid on sort of a minutes restriction, the Knicks don't have size. That was always why I
Yeah,
was like, get,
that Randle injury
yeah.
hurts them more, I think, than people think.
Oh, yeah, especially in this series, because you just have Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein, and that's it. And Mitchell Robinson, you never know when he's going to get hurt. And Hartenstein is a decent, I guess, he's a better than decent defender, but it's just one guy. It's like, he goes down, like, where do you go? So we'll see. And then I have nothing really for Cavs Magic. I think the Cavs are kind of a dead team walking.
Yeah, actually, I think Magic win that series.
Yeah, I do too. And then Boston Miami, man, that talk about like Sunday scaries for the Celtics. Like, that is similar to
Well,
what the
that's
Bucks.
not obviously
Not,
guaranteed yet, but
no, I think if the Bulls win, they'll give them a game. We'll see if they can hold on. But I think the Bulls are scrappy. They'll hang with the Heat, but it's kind of deja vu. The Heat were the eight. They got in, they were down to the Bulls by 15 and then came back. And which is always a crazy, like, what if this entire thing.
I mean, if you
Like,
want, like, that's the series you want for really anybody else in the East, is like, hey, Miami, give these guys a 7-game series,
yep.
like, beat them up, like, nobody, exactly what they did to the Bucks last year, nobody expected it. I think that's a scary series for Boston. I ultimately think they win that series, but
Yeah, so do I.
probably the best draw that you can think of for anybody else that, in the Eastern Conference, it's like, hey, Miami, do your Miami thing in against Boston, and make a series out of it. Take as much air out of that team as you can.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, this should be a fun playoffs. Can't wait. Always a fun weekend. I will unfortunately not be in town. So that's unfortunate on Sunday, but what are you gonna do? Hopefully find to be able to watch here and there. Moving on to the NFL draft, which is crazily a week away. We'll know who the Packers selected with their first pick. Maybe not at this time, or like 10 o'clock. So we're right around where maybe the Packers are picking. But what I wanted to talk about was, I think, we all have the things that we want the Packers to draft, and we all have our priority orders and everything else. But there are always those surprises. There are always those surprises that no one really sees coming, but that maybe you have identified. So it could be a position, it could be a player. That wouldn't necessarily surprise you. It might surprise the group chats, but it wouldn't surprise you in the first three rounds. Do you have a player? Do you have a position where you're like, I can see the Packers actually doing something here that no one kind of sees coming?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, like I think, the comments about Zach Tom really throw a wrench in this. Because I don't think it's smoke. I actually do believe that they have plans to move him. Where it then really opens up, what you need to do. And I think Peter Bukowski was talking about is like, if that's the case, then you take that chance on a tackle this year. You kind of take that, do you move up and get a guy? I don't think Joelle's gonna be available, but like, do you make a jump in that range where you go after a Fautanu, or do you go after a Fuaga? Again, all these guys are probably not gonna be there, but is this year where, all right, you have the draft picks, you have the capital to move up and do it. Or do you wait and you get a guy like Tyler Guyton, who is an absolute monster, and you wait on him? Brad Score, not necessarily the build, right? Like, they're not typically going after guys that are 6'7", 6'8". Amarius Mims is in that same. But again, you can't deny some of the scores, the agility that some of these guys are putting up. I think Amarius Mims is like the fastest tackle ever, I think, combine-wise.
He's just a freak. I mean,
Yeah.
he has the build. It's just a question of, is he too tall? And that's
Yeah.
usually the Packers have avoided it. But again, that would be in this category of surprising, because people are gonna look, and the Packers do have tells, but it's kind of almost swung too far where everybody's like, oh, they're just gonna do this. Like, I fell in this trap with Devontae Wyatt. I was like, there's no way they're going to take Devontae Wyatt because Devontae Wyatt's 24. They're not going to take this old guy. And sure enough, they did. And so it's like, I think it's a little bit different, but I look at it. One of the things that I've been kind of on is I think they're going to draft an interior defensive lineman early. Like, I don't know if it's first round, second
Yeah.
round. I don't know if they want to, I don't know if they want to give Kenny Clark a big extension. I understand that a lot of people like Kenny Clark. I get it. Packers are really stingy about third contracts, and it's also for a big guy. Like, that's you lead yourself into it, but maybe they're okay with it. But, and I think there are also really good guys at that interior D line position, whether it's Byron Murphy, whether it's Johnny Newton. I love Brandon Fisk. I like Johnny Newton a lot too. Like, both of those guys are, like, I think, studs. But I don't know. Are they do enough to replace the Kenny Clark progression? But, and I'll let you
Yeah.
back in here after this. But we've seen a trend with the Packers where they always seem to be 1 year ahead, and they've
Yeah.
already drafted Brooks. And they've already drafted Wooden. Like, then you draft another guy, and all of a sudden you're set up and you're ready to
Yeah.
go, and you don't have to pay Kenny Clark because you had to pay Jordan Love. You have to pay your receivers at some point. Yeah, I don't know. That's just something
Yeah.
I've been cooking up in the lab.
Yeah, the Kenny Clark thing, when we were kind of, you sent over topics, what we were talking about, that's actually something I thought about, was like, he's young, but he's played a lot, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh yeah.
he's a veteran, but he's still young. But yeah, like you said, it, like, is that something where they make that move where, like, hey, we've got, another good year, 2 years out of Kenny Clark. What does the extension look like if we do? Where, yeah, maybe they go that route, and like you said, they're planning where a guy might not have to start right away. Like, I think that's the one thing that gets lost in a lot of these first round guys, is that they should be day one starters. It's not always the case. Certainly some of them, yeah, they're gonna have to, I think. But I also think, like, you draft for need, do you draft for need, or do you draft position, whatever. And I think what would surprise me, but I just love the edge guys in this draft. With Van Ness and Gary, like, and the new system, like, is that a move that they go to and add some depth there? Like, it's such a good, like, edge draft. Like, lots of options, lots of
I
just, like,
love Jared Verse. I love Jared Verse in
and
college.
he's another
I
guy.
love Jared Verse. I loved him at Florida State. Every time I watch Florida State, Jared Verse jumps off the screen.
Yep.
Like, it would surprise a lot of people. It'd be the new cornerback, right? But I mean, it's worth noting, like, Kingsley Ngambare is probably not going to be ready to go until middle of the year because of an ACL injury. And even when he's ready to go, is he going to be there? And I will say my second year Ngambare experience was not, I feel like, as good as the first one pre-ACL injury.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think that wouldn't be a surprise. I it's a to the point, it's a really good receiver draft.
Yeah,
And
that's
you
another one
have a
too.
ton of receivers, but I don't know, man. Like
It's
Keon
Chris,
Coleman,
like it's Christian
Keon, if
Watson.
Keon Coleman starts falling, like I want to take Keon Coleman. Again,
Yeah, I
I
mean,
know
you gotta take the bet. You know, like that's the thing.
it's
It's
such
like
a
some of these guys
as a
fall. Are you drafting for need? Do you draft best player available?
right.
Because and you make it, you figure it out.
But
Is Christian Watson really the long-term answer at one of these positions, you know, at one of those receiver positions? I think we're both in agreement, you know, as far as Wicks, like what we think his growth
yeah.
potential could be on this team. Jaden Reed has cemented himself, like we know
Right.
that. And then some of these other ancillary guys, can Christian Watson stay healthy?
Right.
If he can he be that field stretcher that we're looking at? But if, like you said, if some of these guys are falling, like
Or
why
do you
not
take
jump
a
on it, you know, and
right,
you make it work.
or do you take a risk for like Jermaine Burton, who was kind of a shithead in college? Do you take him in the third round, who every time you watch Alabama, Jermaine Burton's catching a deep ball from Jalen Milroe? Like Jalen Milroe, do you just throw it down there? That and that's essentially what you want with Christian Watson, and you just have another guy that can stretch the field if in case Watson gets hurt. Like I like the guys we have. I think we've all built our own relationship with them, like Malik Heath and Bo Melton, and you know, obviously the guy Watson and Dobbs and everything else. But it's like, yeah, this is a really good draft. I advocate trading Watson or trading Dobbs. I think that would be, unless you're getting a first round draft pick next year back, which you wouldn't get. But if you're getting really good draft capital for next year and you don't think that team's going to be good, basically like a Jets trade all over again, then maybe you'd look at it. I don't think you look at it for Watson. I think Watson does too much for the offense when he's out there in terms of
But
stretching
you could find
and
another
just.
job, yeah.
But yeah, it'll be very interesting. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that would surprise me. Oh, the other thing I this is actually like kind of to reverse the topic, but
Yeah.
no, you have if you have something else, go ahead.
I was gonna say I think you know, drafting for need this early, I think most people would agree that like safety and linebacker, inside linebacker are probably at the top of the list. I would be surprised if they used one of these first round, or excuse me, one of these early picks on an interior linebacker or inside linebacker.
Yes.
I don't know. Like
I
that's a
don't
lot
get
of
it.
value to put into somebody like a Peyton Wilson who's had injury history. Do you take that
So
chance?
much injury history. Like,
I
he
know you're
not
not
to.
Adrian. I know you're not Adrian Cooper guy, but like again, that
Do
pedigree is
you
there.
do so do you so do you like him?
I like him better than I think I do with the risk of Wilson.
I don't know, man. I watched all those, and you guys probably listened to this already because I did a bunch on the linebackers. But like, I just those skinny linebackers have just not worked out recently. So it's like, I wonder if that's a thing of the past. But we'll see. I mean, I agree though. I agree that linebacker is, I would say, probably one of those where they don't, you know, they kind of pull a safety from last year, and it's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, fifth round we took this kid from. I forget the kid I mentioned who was plays a lot of special teams. It might have been the
Yeah,
Notre Dame
or take
kid.
like a Junior Colson in third or
Yeah.
fourth, you know
Oh
what I
God, I'd
mean?
love that. Yeah. And I will take any Michigan player. I'll take any Florida State player. Like I've been banging the drum for Mikey Sanstrill. I don't know if I have to tell it like go like I understand he's short. I get it. But like if I swear to God, if like Niners get Mikey Sanstra, I'm gonna be like flipping tables because I kid's a stud. Like he's just a really good, he's just gonna be a really good player in the NFL. So we'll see.
And that's kind of the one thing too, and I'm sure we'll kind of get into it, is like I'm big on guys that come from these winning type programs. It's kind of
Oh
like,
yeah.
hey, draft a basketball guy from Villanova, like they're going to be a good basketball player,
Yeah.
right? And you come from these pedigree programs and these blue chip programs, like you'll find a way to get these guys on the field to produce.
Yeah. Do you have any guys that we haven't talked about where you're like, that are just like your dudes, where you're like, kind of like I'm a Sanstro, where I'm just like, yeah, if I have a choice, I'll just hit a button and draft him in the third round or fourth round?
Latu is probably like a guy that we won't get. I just love his tape. He's gonna go probably top 10. I got Edge out of UCLA. The other guy who I actually do really think we have a shot at is Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia. He's probably up there on kind of my want list as far as one of those first two picks. He's probably my safety pick there. A lot of the receivers again are more on the wish list. Like you said, Keon Coleman. I do like kind of the smoke that's coming with Cooper DeJean. The guy tested incredible. I think a lot of I would say most mocks that I've seen have still had him there, which is weird because he tested really well and it's and he hasn't moved. He hasn't dropped necessarily. I thought he would dropped in a good way, to more in that 15 to 20 range. He's kind of stayed in that 22 to 25 range. But again, what does if the Packers think he can play safety, do they do that, or do they think he can play truly an outside corner? It's no, shocker that there's not a lot of white corners in the NFL. So does he play more of your slot corner? I'm not saying he can't do it, but I'm curious like what they would envision as far as like his role if they did go for him, or if there was somebody that moved up. That's always something I like to ask. If it's if it's 18 or 20 in that range. Let's just say you've got a guy that's there. Who would you consider moving up for to get?
I mean, so you also would talk to yourself about, well, is there a corner that's available, right? Because the
Later.
Eagles are going to need a corner. It looks like the Colts are going to draft a corner. Everyone thinks they're going to draft Quinton Mitchell from Toledo, who had just unbelievable scores. Terry and Arnold might be there. Is it worth though trading up for a corner? That seems a little aggressive. I think Mims might be a guy if you feel like he's going and you're like, we need to make a move. We're gonna go after him. We're gonna make something happen. I think Fatanu from Washington, again, another guy where I think you'd look at it and say, all right, well, I might have butchered it. But yeah, Olafonu is another one where he was a top five pick and he had a bad 2023. And I'm kind of into this, like, that was the whole Wicks story. And now, and maybe it's like just one example of it, but like Wicks was terrible as last year. It's because he had a bad quarterback and everything else. And Virginia is not a beacon of college football, but the Packers did their research and was like, this guy was awesome last year. Like, it might just be one bad year. Like Kool-Aid McKinstry is the exact same. Now I know I'm kind of twisting your question, but it's like that, those are guys where it's like, I think one bad year of tape should not define you and not be like, oh, this guy's fucked. It's like, as long as like the other stuff, as long as you're testing well, as long as like you didn't like go down a bad path in terms of like you as a person, like, I think you'll be fine.
The one thing too I was thinking about, and I don't maybe I was just going way too deep in this, is it's kind of like the traditional offensive linemen, right? Guys that the Packers draft, right? Score's got to be up there, agility's got to be up there, but they're not typically drafting really big guys, right? Those 6'6", 6'7", 6'8" guys. Where and I was thinking about this, I'm like, Aaron Rodgers on a good day, 6'2", right? Jordan Love on a good day, 6'5". Is that the reason why? Was there anything there between what Rodgers preferred as far as offensive linemen, really that vision? Is it something as far as size where that 3 inches actually really does matter and it affects the offensive linemen and who they're drafting and looking at? Because you had them for, geez, almost 2 decades. You wonder that, like, was that kind of the reason they drafted the way they did? And they drafted some here and there, right? I think Bulaga was on the larger side when they drafted him. Sean Ryan, as far as like a weight, I think was one of the bigger guys.
I love Sean Ryan's look though. I mean, he's talk about just a perfect offensive lineman for Green Bay, Wisconsin. Like, but yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, that's a really good point. That might be the reason why the things that they might have said, hey, we're not drafting big guys and basically throwing you off the scent. I mean, Peter Schrager is pretty dialed in to all this. And Schrager was one of the first people that was on Quay Walker. And he was one of the only people that had the Packers mocked with Quay Walker, and he has him mocked with Mims, and that's interesting because again, Mims isn't the type, the prototypical Packer tackle, and so he might know more than we do, and it'll be very interesting
Yeah.
to see what happens. I mean, I think in general, I don't think the Bears will screw up Caleb Williams. My thing is, my
I
hope is that they draft Adunze at nine,
nine.
and they don't draft a defensive, or they don't draft an offensive tackle, or they don't draft a Dallas Turner, or like I think that'd be
Wait.
so stupid to draft two skill position guys in the top 10 when you have other holes.
Yeah, I mean he came out today, right? I think what's his name's like said it's either Odunze or Brock Bowers at nine is kind of what they said, which kind of with Cole Kmet, I don't know the Brock Bowers
They
stuff
love.
much.
They just have a tight end fetish. Like they had 10 tight ends last year. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
They just.
And so I don't love them having that kind of like stable of receivers, but you know, with Caleb Williams and what that offense could look like, but you got to play defense too. My only other thing I'll quickly say on the Packers is if they don't really move, you know, if they don't really draft, you know, heavy into the safeties, I'm wondering, is there a free agent, an older free agent that you could kind of bring in on a lesser deal? Not saying they would bring in Micah Hyde, but a guy like that
Yeah.
right now, kind of maybe
Justin,
the
oh,
tail
Justin
end.
Simmons signed with somebody, right?
Yeah, but like an Eddie Jackson, I think that'd be funny.
Yeah.
Like Quandre
Yeah.
Diggs, Tracy Marcus May, like some of those guys that
Right.
are very much in the Devondre Campbell type range, where he might have a couple, you know, a year or two left. We don't need their best ball, but you know, you bring somebody like that in, be a veteran leader in that very, very, you know, not necessarily young, but you know, position in need for sure. And you bring somebody in that's just going to be solid. Alongside, you know, the rest of the guys that we have in Kinney and certainly the DBs as well. I wonder if that's maybe something they look at too.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea. I was just trying to pull up who the free agents that are still available that I
Yeah,
was
so
looking
it's,
at.
you know, Jamal Adams, Justin Simmons, who obviously is not on the list anymore, Eddie Jackson, Quandre Diggs, Micah Hyde, and these guys are all 30 plus, right? I think
Right.
Jamal Adams just injury history is probably not something I'm touching
Yeah,
more than
we don't need Blitzboy. He's
no.
not he yeah, they he's
Tracy
not.
Walker, yeah, is 29. Marcus May is one I kind of like. Adrian Phillips, Tayshaun Gibson from San Francisco is 33. He's a little old. You know, a lot of these guys are again on the tail end of their career. I would love a Micah Hyde reunion. I think he's still got some
That'd be
football
pretty
left.
cool. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
You know, the Marcus May is probably the other one I like the most on this list, but yeah, again, it's like, hey, give us 2 years, give us one solid year of
Yeah.
football. Let's try to get a, you know, a Super Bowl out of you. And
And to that point, you really don't have the same luxury at inside linebacker because you look at inside linebacker and
it's
it's gross.
brutal.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's Zach
Jack
Cunningham. It's
Leonard, like
Shaq Line, Pokemon Blake Martinez, Jared Davis, Quan Alexander. No thanks.
Yeah,
So,
it's bad. Yeah.
yeah.
But safety, you know, a little deeper, I think, again, with the add-in of McKinney like that gives you a little bit of leeway. And certainly the change in the system, like,
Right.
you know, one of these guys fit a 3-4 better than maybe they would have in the older system. And hey, like maybe we take that chance. Draft the
Well,
guy, right? But
that's
maybe
yeah.
bring him
But
defense and
and I've kind of mentioned that I think in something else that I did this week, but it's like I do wonder, you know, Halfley played in the ACC. He coached against a lot of these Florida State guys, you know, will he have insight where he's like, yeah, Verse or Fisk or Coleman, like you gotta draft those guys because they just are not either Coleman's impossible to scheme against, or you know, I would love to have like seven Jared Verse. We'll see. I'll be curious to see how much that does, but you're very excited. It's an exciting draft given the Packers have
yeah.
so many picks. I do wonder if they give away, you know, a couple of those to try to move up because they don't need 11 players currently on their roster. All
Yep.
right, last thing to wrap it up. We were only going to do two things, and then the story broke today that the WIAA is looking at NIL for students. This is something that's been done in 31 states so far, so this isn't something new. It's created a lot of discussion. NIL is kind of a swear word at this point, but it's a way for kids to, maybe profit off their name and likeness as high schoolers, which is wild to think about. I don't know where you want to take this. I don't know, like, is this too Twilight Zone for you? Are you mad that you could have been making money from O'Sullivan's for your cornerback and shooting guard skills back at Tulsa West? Wherever you want to go with it.
I mean, obviously the story broke today, so I, admittedly don't have a ton of insight into how this worked. I think my biggest questions are you guys just handing cash or checks over to these kids? And it's, what are they really making, right? I was listening, I was talking to I work with Sparky Pfeiffer, he's back on the air, and he was talking about his son was playing in a bowling tournament, like a state bowling tournament. He's 8 years old and took whatever 10th place and had was gifted $150 in scholarship money as an eight-year old.
Wow, that's great.
And so I was like, well, so how does this gonna, how is this gonna work if you're gonna do it? Like, I don't love the fact that we're just giving kids really money just, without working. I don't love that. I think, when we had money, we spent it on alcohol or booze or
Right,
whatever we were doing as high school kids
exactly.
and making stupid decisions. I don't love that aspect of it. But I think we talked about it. Like, is this, I think if you're gonna do it, it would make sense if it's more of a fund that it grows over time and it's not something that a kid can like pull out, at will. And it's like, hey, I need, $300 for this or, $500 for that. And again, I don't know what kind of money is even really there. But it's extremely interesting. I thought it was, a step in the right direction for college. I don't understand it. I don't really see it for high school. Certainly not Wisconsin yet. I mean, let's be honest, in the grand scheme of like Wisconsin high school sports, and I will say their basketball is much better than when I played. I mean, they've got some, some great talent coming out of this state lately, and certainly on the football side too. But in the grand scheme of like high school athletics, Wisconsin's probably not in that, in the top tier. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, how do, our friends are kind of joking about like how do private schools versus public schools, do private schools will find a way to monetize this a little bit better? Does that open up a bunch of transfer stuff where, when we were in high school, right, we had kids like Corey Lucius, who was transferring from King to Pius, and a couple other guys that were moving from like, city schools to Catholic Memorial.
Yeah, it becomes just a pipeline, right? Like it becomes that, or kind of what we talked about. I'm stealing your take, so I apologize, but like if a big booster at Alabama likes a Milwaukee kid or likes a Brookfield kid or whatever it may be, and he then gives money to the collective,
It's
and
such a slippery slope.
it's kind of like, oh, hey, by the way, now they aren't able to use, it's just the kid. I really quickly read like Deb Hauser, who's one of the worst people in this state, talk about it, and she sucks. She just or that whole family, fuck that family. But anyways, another story for another time. And like they just she's like, oh yeah, like they're not going to be able to use like the mascot, they're not going to be able to use the school, it'll be just the kid. So like if it were
Just
you or I,
name.
we wouldn't be wearing Tulsa West gear if we're sponsoring Colectivo or something, and doing that. It would just be Charlie Trischler and everything like that, and Charlie
Yeah.
Trischler for this. And I just think it's like it's there's just so many pitfalls to your, then that, how about like not all these parents are good parents. Like we want to say that everybody's a good parent and whatever, but it's like,
Yeah.
what's to say that, Johnny's dad isn't taking this money and then going to Silk, and he's like, oh, I'll watch your money. And it's like he gets done with college. Like, we'll let it sit there, and then you'll have it when you get done and ready to go to school. And then it's like, oh, I blew it at pot, or I blew it at Silk. And
Yeah,
it's like
That's the thing. It's like, again, like, are these kids making $5 an autograph? Okay. Are they making $1 an autograph? Fine. Are they making $500 for this? Like, where is, there's got to be levels to this. And again, I think it's like, let's not just hand kids a check. Also, like, and this is probably a boomer take, like, are they really going to focus on school and or anything else at that point, where it's like, no, I'm going to do my best to, like, get bread and get money while I can in high school and
Or
not do anything, not to actually get a job and work like that. Like, how many times do we hear, these athletes go pro in something else, right? Like, they're
yeah.
not going to play college athletics. Yeah, that's nice to walk away with, some money maybe for, your school next year if you're not playing athletics. But, like, let's focus on school first. Like, let's not be idiots and
Yeah.
be at their students first, and I just think there's so many ways that this could go wrong. We talked about it, like the recruiting angle of I TJ Ostenberg came to mind right away because of TJ Thomas More, like, hey, this random booster came
Oh
in
yeah, I
putting
yeah.
money
All
into
of a sudden,
Thomas
I
More.
oh,
Oh, that kid's just going to
that
Iowa
wouldn't
State.
surprise me with Osberger.
I know
But
you're not a fan, but yeah, that was something
no,
that just
well,
came out.
he stole Deontay Burton. That's fine. So the last thing I was gonna say was, you brought up like money sport. You brought up, oh, I'm just gonna get this bread. Like, that reminds me of like when I was a freshman in study hall, and Antonio Freeman, not the Packer Antonio Freeman, but he was a very good athlete at Tulsa West. He went to Wisconsin on both a track and a football scholarship. Got kicked out for weed. Maybe not today he'd get kicked out for weed, but he did then. And he was like, "Oh, you play football?" And it's like, whatever. And he's like, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I play basketball too." He's like, "No, you can't do basketball. You gotta focus on your money sport. Gotta focus on your money sport." And I think more kids, they already do that, right? They already only play one sport. There's not a lot of people who are like, I'm playing football, I'm playing basketball, I'm doing track, like I'm doing baseball. That has significantly decreased, but it will decrease even more with these NIL shit, because they're like, what, rarely are you really good at both sports. Like, rarely are you like JJ Watt, where you were like really good at basketball and really good at football. I don't know, was JJ Watt really good at football? Basketball?
He's
Okay.
just bigger than everybody, but like a Jalen Suggs, right? Or like guys that are
Oh
like
yeah. That's a better
in
example.
like
Yeah,
multiple sports.
actual like guys who could. Joe Thomas, I think, was another one who was really good basketball player. So it's like,
I just have a hard time like taking kids, like legitimately kids, and being like, hey, you don't have to work for a living. You can always, I just don't love taking that work ethic out of them very
yeah.
early. Because, like, if a kid's making, let's just say they make $500 a month, like, we were probably making that in our first job anyways, as 14, 15-year-olds. And again, it takes away, like, what are they really focusing on in school? Like, are they really doing that? Are they focusing on that? Are they really focusing on their brand? And, granted, like, that's been, a train, a change over the years, is right, the influencer world and how it's blown up, and kids don't have to go to school
Oh
anymore, or
yeah,
they're
no,
making money.
kids think they're just gonna go be TikTok stars. They think
Yeah,
they're gonna, they think
I just
that
don't
it's,
love that.
yeah, we're, I mean, we're traveling down Boomerville.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, it's like, there is, it's exciting that they have all these opportunities, and they have more opportunities than we did. They have more opportunities than the generation before us. But at the same time, you still have to, like, yeah, you still have to figure out, where do you go? Where do you go work wise? Where do you do this? How do you do these little things like mowing a lawn, and how to mow a lawn, and like how to make sure that like you're doing all this stuff around the house. I don't know. It's we'll
Yeah,
see.
this is my last point, is like, all right, let's just say, again, we're not sure how these, like, budgets, or if there's even a
No.
budget, like, what that means, but we talked about it. It's like, all right, let's just say Brookfield Central has a $100,000 budget, right?
Yeah.
And Wauwatosa West is $5,000. If I'm a Brookfield Central, or I'm somebody that wants to play like football or basketball, not saying that Brookfield Central is going to, like, openly, open their doors to these kids, but, like, why wouldn't I want to go where there's more opportunity and
Right.
money? it's gonna be a very top heavy situation, and it's like, all right, how do we even manage, like, what, do caps, do they max out where a kid can't make a certain amount of money, they can only make
Yeah.
a,
And
and
like
it's like,
how,
you have football, you have basketball, you have, then how does that work with the girls teams? Like, that's
yeah.
gonna be a conversation too,
Right. And how, and
after.
also too, it's like, how do you check what private school they're doing? How do you check what Catherine Morrow is doing? What Marquette's doing? Like, that's, you don't have to, like, Freedom of Information Act only requires the public entities. They're a private entity. They can do what they want. So very, very interesting. We'll see. Anything else for the people? As I always would say to Mitch at the end of our Tapping the
Yeah.
Kegs.
No, yeah. The only other thing is, I just thought it was a funny story, and I won't get into specific details, but a good friend of ours, his sister-in-law, is actually renting out her house. It was a funny story.
Oh, yes.
Talking about houses, and it came up, and his sister-in-law is renting out a house. And we were actually talking about the Caitlin Clark contract, and just, what she makes versus what a first-year NFL player makes versus what, MLB pitchers. And he was like, yeah, this guy's renting out my sister-in-law's house. I won't, disclose where it is. And he's only making, X amount of money, and he's from the Dominican. And I'm like, and he doesn't, he basically alluded, like, he doesn't play much. And he's not a big fan. Getty, he was my boy. Not a huge sports fan, not a big Brewers fan. So, like, on the stats, yeah, it looks like he doesn't play. But I was like, Dominican, hold on. And there's only, I think there's only two, and it's Bagueiro and Abner Uribe. And oddly enough, Abner Uribe is renting out his sister-in-law's house in the area, which was just a funny story to be like, wait a second, how did we not talk about this? That's
That's
it.
great. I mean, we just
Funny.
got to get Abner on board, and get Abner to get us like tickets. Like, we can make this thing happen where we're
Yeah.
all of a sudden we just have a little intel.
He's
Into,
our
I will
guy.
say, the Perkins, Blake Perkins family, Brewers wise, talk a little Brewers, love me on social. I'm great with the family. Stevie Mitchell's mom follows me on Twitter, so like
Oh,
we're,
wow.
hell yeah, we're moving. Apparently Marquette might have got a kid from Germany. Has been confirmed. They're calling him the Dirk of the wing position. I'm just kidding. But we'll see.
Do they have any kind of smoke in kind of some of these bigger transfer guys coming? I know Cam is
No,
staying.
Shaka. I think Shaka might just actually say fuck the portal again, which might be incredible that he's just like sticking to it. Which is really interesting. I think if you keep winning, no one will care. If you don't, people are gonna ask questions. And you
Yeah.
gotta keep guys out of the portal for the next like 14 days. Who knows? Like Dre Davis, was this awesome guy at Seton Hall and then gets a bag to go play at Ole Miss. And so it's like, hopefully that's not happening with Joplin or Chase Ross. Those would be the two guys that I think would be most likely to get that sort of thing, but we'll just see if it does happen. And hasn't been effect hasn't hit us too hard, so we'll see where it all goes. But yeah, it'd be dope to get a German kid in Milwaukee. Talk about as perfect as get. Also, you don't have to pay those guys NIL deals because they can't make NIL deals because they
Yeah, I
are.
know. I was thinking that. I was like, when that Edie thing came out, I was like, man, he'd be, German kid with Usingers right around the corner.
Usingers, Maders, Old German Beer Hall, all of it. He
That's
gets
too
none of
bad.
it. So yeah, it's all right, man. Well, thanks for filling in. Appreciate it. We'll have to have you on during the long Bucks playoff run that we're about to endure. And yeah, I'm back tomorrow solo doing a lot of baseball and maybe a little bit of Bucks, last second shit. And we'll then be back with Mitch next week. See you guys. Peace.